Okay, one thing I would love to do, I want to go over with you. Remember earlier today how everyone filled out their paperwork about the things that we are? As I was having my quiet time with the Lord, it's just something that the Lord just ministered to me to ask everyone, and so I did, and we came up with such an amazing list. Let me give you the top 10. Not Dave's top 10, but okay, who we are. Okay, most of us are daughters, so that was like the number one answer, which was very good. That's something that we all have in common. The next one is child of God, daughter of God, believer, Christian, new creation. Mother, wife, single moms, that's number three. Sisters and sisters-in-laws, number four. A friend. Students, teachers, homemakers, pet owners. We have one person that's a waymaster. Now, I don't know what that is. Where is she? Denise. What is that, Denise? Oh, cool. I was thinking that maybe I could get you to weigh me or something. I didn't know. Like you look at people and you say, okay, I know you weigh such and such. Okay, the Waymaster. Okay, cool. See? There's things about each other that are amazing. These were some of the wonderful things and some of the other things that I wanted to share. One said that she was beautiful. A couple said they were sinners. A couple said they were servants. We have an actress among us, a mime. A couple of you are lovers. A couple are peacemakers. Empty without God. A couple are prayer warriors, mercy givers. One is a woman of menopause. Maybe many of us are women of menopause. We just didn't put that down. But the things that we say about ourselves say a lot about us. And it's not so much what we do, but it's what we think about ourselves. And so our study tonight about having that surrendered mind is so important. And you think of yourself as a woman, all the things that we have to think about in life. It starts early. I remember my one daughter, she was about 4 years old, and she wanted to talk to me about her relationships with her girlfriends. At 4 years old, I thought, oh boy, I'm in big trouble. I mean, the boys, they don't know what relationships are, until they start liking girls and when they're teenagers. So the whole woman thing is unique to all of us in this room. The same, but unique amongst women versus men. Women, I think we think into the future. How many of us already have our kids married off, or we know where we're going to retire, or we know what our next house is going to look like, or the next car that we buy? We're just creatures of looking into the future. And sometimes it's a beautiful picture that we paint for ourselves, but it's just not reality. And that's when the rubber meets the road. You marry your Prince Charming. You know those movies, or they're not movies, they're little shows on TV about the weddings, the ultimate wedding, the platinum wedding. I feel so sorry, the bridezillas. I feel so sorry for those girls because, it's just all about them. And it's like a recipe for disaster. I would just like to see the odds of how many of those girls are still married after the wedding. After the whole hoopla about themselves has died down. You're only a bride for one day, and then you become a wife. And then that's just where the rubber meets the road. And Prince Charming isn't always, who you thought he was. And, his princess bride was not who he thinks it was. And, it can be a recipe for disaster as well. But, you have to come to grips with reality. And reality has to begin in the mind because that's where the devil really attacks us. And that's what I wanted to look at tonight is all the different areas of the mind. And there are so many scriptures. We're going to be going through a lot of scriptures tonight. And I wrote most of mine down. I have all the references, and I used my NIV and my New King James Version. So that's where the translations are coming from. If you happen to read yours and the word is a little bit different, that's where I'm at. Okay, but we're going to start with Psalm 32:8. Now we kind of took that theme scripture from Mark 12:29 about love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So we had a teaching this morning about loving God with all your heart, this afternoon about all your soul, and then this evening, all your mind. So we're going to go ahead and turn to Psalms 32:8 together. And I'm going to open us up in prayer. Lord, as we gather around your word, God, that's what we want to have the preeminence, Lord, here in this place. We want your word to be lifted up. We want your word, Lord, to change us, to encourage us, to motivate us, to convict us. We want your word to speak truth into our hearts, but mostly, Lord, this evening, into our minds, that you would renew our minds as we wash our minds with the word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so 32:8 reads, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you and watch over you. You do not have to be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. So that's what we're going to do tonight. What we're going to do is we are going to let the Lord teach us and instruct us in the way we should go. And what that means is all this teaching has to do with our mind. Okay, so you got to get into that mode. We're going to talk about the surrendering of the mind. So we're going to look here. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go concerning your mind. Concerning your mind this evening. Let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to lay out the scripture so you guys have this. It says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give account. Now, that's a little scary when you think that. You will give an account for everything that you do. Not be judged, if you're a believer, to heaven or hell, but you're going to give an account. That's hard. That's harsh. But the Word of God, look at what it is. It's living, it's active, and it judges the thoughts. And that's where women have a lot of trouble, is in our thought life. It's not what anybody can see. It's just between you and the Lord. Now let's think about all the different kinds of thoughts that we can have. And I want you guys to give me some input. We can have covetous thoughts, envious thoughts. These are negative. We're going for the negative right now. What other things? Rebellious thoughts, selfish thoughts, sinful thoughts, evil thoughts, jealousy, lustful. And probably in this room, we have all experienced all of it. Because basically, it's all sin. And we're all sinners, right? So every Christian has to battle their thought life with all these different things. And it never goes away. The thought life never goes away. I think maybe until you get Alzheimer's or something, then you don't have your mind anymore. So that might be a blessing for some of us. But as we're traveling through this life, we have to deal with our thought life. And so you can appear to be very kind and very loving on the outside, but the Lord Jesus Christ looks into the heart, and he knows our thoughts. When Stacy was up here earlier, she was talking about abortion. You know, that's an issue that's touchy for some women, but as Christian women, if that's happened to us, it's under the blood if we've asked for forgiveness. But I know that I had to come to a realization as a pastor's wife. I used to think, oh, abortion, you know, that's just so horrible. God, thank you that I didn't have to, you know, have to be in that situation where I did that. And then the Lord ministered to me, man, you are so prejudiced. You could have been in that situation. You could have been in that situation, but you weren't. And you have to realize, and this is what the Lord ministered to me, that abortion, just like anything else, is sin. And everyone's tempted to sin, right? So Christian women, just like anybody else, are tempted to have abortions. Who's the tempter? Yeah. And who else did he tempt? Yeah. So let's look at that. That's where we need to look. That's where we need to start. That Jesus himself was tempted. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 4. So the thoughts that we have when we're tempted, they're not wrong. It's if they're acted upon. You're going to have those thoughts. That is going to happen to you. You are going to be tempted to sin in a lot of different ways. You are going to be tempted to steal. You are going to be tempted to cheat. You are going to be tempted to lie. You are going to be tempted to commit adultery. You are going to be tempted to do a lot of things. And sometimes we give into those temptations, and it's horrible, and we feel awful. And so I'm going to confess one of my temptations that I fell prey to this last week. When I drive out to work in Irvine, there's a lot of traffic sometimes, and we have to be at this meeting at a certain time, and I don't know what happened on the freeway. It was crowded. It was packed. You guys know what it's like if you travel on Orange County freeways. But you know what lane was just wide open? The carpool lane. And I just said, Lord, I'm sorry, but I just have to do it. And so as I'm in the carpool lane, I'm thinking of all the lies I'm going to tell the police officer as he pulls me over. I'm pregnant, so there really is, you know, two of us in the car. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to say. But you know, your mind thinks about the lies that you're going to tell before they even happen. You haven't done it yet, but it's still up there. It's up there. And so, no, I didn't get a ticket. Thank the Lord. And I'm sure none of you have ever done that. Yeah, I know some of you have, but you know, there's just things that happen in life like that. And we make a wrong decision. And sometimes we suffer the consequences. You know, you're in traffic and, you know, even downtown traffic. And you speed and you get a ticket. And, you know, that's your just consequence. You can't pray, Lord, please don't let me get a ticket. Well, you're breaking the law, you know. So that's what the law's there for, to show us how far we fall from that. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 4. And we'll look at the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Now, in that little passage right there, we see that Jesus was led by the Spirit to go and fast. The fast was 40 days and 40 nights. He came off the fast. He's thirsty. He's tired. He's hungry. Some of us can't even fast one meal, let alone, you know, 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, to fast a day, you would think we were just horrible. And everyone knows that we're fasting, our family. You know, we don't hide it very well. But after fasting for 40 days, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said, "If you are the Son of God." Now tell me this. Did the tempter know who this was? Why did he say that? If you are. You know, just that little seed of doubt. If you are. And that's what the devil does to us. He just puts that little seed of doubt in our mind. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil, another name, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point. "If you are the Son of God," there he goes again, you know he knows who he is, "throw yourself down, for it is written, and look who knows the word of God, the devil himself. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Now, was that true? Was that the truth? It's the word of God that he's quoting, but it's out of context, right? And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan," another name, "for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. In the other version, it says that the devil left him and was waited for another opportune time to come and tempt him again. So, you know, as you see this, you have to realize that temptation is common to every person. And even God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the God-man, was tempted. Now, he was the only one that didn't give in to temptation. That's why he could pay for our sins on the cross. But the temptation was there. Now, let's go all the way back, and let's look at the temptation of woman back in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 3. "Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman," now this is interesting, the animals are talking here, "who knows what was going on in the Garden of Eden? We don't have all the answers. But he made the, did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden? And there you go. There's that little, did God really say that to you? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but did God say you must not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, that you must not touch it or you will die? You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And then what did she do? Gave it to her poor husband. And you know, there we are again. There's the devil tempting us. You know, did God really say that? And what's the only way that we can do battle against the enemy when he comes and puts those lies into our mind? Yes. You have to battle with the word of God. Yes, you pray, but you got to have a little more ammunition than just prayer. The Lord does say that when we are tempted, he will give us a way of escape. There is some way of escape, but the bottom line is don't put yourself in that position. That's when you're actually in a thing where you're actually going to sin. A lot of times sin starts a long time before up here in the mind. And you start giving way to things that you know you shouldn't, and you start listening to things and being swayed. And, you know, you have to be careful, ladies, who you listen to. I think some of you dole out, you know, Dr. Phil and Dr. Laura and some of these people like their scripture, and they're really not scripture. Got to be careful. You got to go back to the word, which means you have to be a student of the word. You have to study the word. Nobody else can do it for you. Now you go to church, you come to retreats, you go to Bible studies, you know, you're sharpening your skills, but you got to go back to the word yourself. You know what? Let's go to Luke. That's where the other account of Jesus' temptation is. Luke 4. And this is the part that I wanted you guys to see. Luke 4:13 is where it says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Now, what do you think that opportune time was? Where? In the garden. And we looked at that last night, huh, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Jesus didn't give in to that temptation, but the temptation was, you know what, man, if this could pass from me, if I don't have to do this, you know, but he said, what, Lord, your will be done. If there's another way for this to happen, let it happen. But if not, I'll take the cup. I'll die. And that was so humiliating. How many of you have ever experienced the shame of humiliation? I mean, it stays with you forever. I don't know if you ever, ever, ever forget about it. And there's the devil, man, even as a believer. Something that happened to you 30 years ago, within a second he can bring it to your mind. And there's that little videotape, plays inside your mind, exactly what happened. Oh yeah, I must really be that, whatever that person called me or whatever they did. I must have deserved that. Or, you know what I'm saying? And I think for women, another issue that we have is a lot of us are hormonal. And we have our periods once a month. And we have these cycles outright. And our physical body goes through changes. And you need to be aware of when that's happening to you. And I know for myself, that's the time I can almost tell to the T. The devil always comes with the same thing. It's like a monthly thing. And he comes and he wants to. And I'm just like, man, I am so tired of that. No, I'm not even going to go there. And I just go forward. But in the beginning, man, when the Lord brought those things, I had to wrestle. I had to wrestle in my mind. What does that feel like when you wrestle in your mind? How many of you have done that wrestling in your mind? Okay, so what does it feel like? What's the feeling? Confusion? Frustration? What was that, Tony? Justification? Okay, it's turmoil. It's the flesh and the spirit waging war against each other. There's an Indian saying, and I can't quite remember it. I'm part Indian. I probably should remember it. Do you know it? Okay. The one you feed the most. I think that was a different tribe, but I like that one. I Miwok, that wasn't the Miwok story, but it's the same principle. It's the same principle where, you know, who are you feeding? You know, are you feeding the flesh? Then the flesh is going to win. Are you feeding the spirit? And how do you feed the spirit? How do you do it? How do you do it? Okay, worship, pray, the word. That's what we got to get back to. We got to get back to the word. Worship is so much sweeter when you know the word, when you know who God is, when you know who it is that you're worshiping. That makes your worship sweeter. Because then you're not just singing songs about, you know, a God that's way up there. He's personal. You know him. He's saved you. He's provided for you. He's answered your prayers. He's personal. And that's who you're worshiping. And it makes all the difference in the world. And you say to yourself, oh my goodness, I know this. I need to be in the word, you know, but we got to come back to it because we stray. We so easily stray from the word of God. From our time in the Word, from that devotion time where it's just you and the Lord. And it's not Bible study time. It's just an intimate relationship, and you have to develop that. You have to make it a priority. You all remember, those of you that have had babies, when your babies are first born, you know, aren't they just the most beautiful baby you've ever seen? And you can just, you know, even if they're not, because I've had a few that weren't too cute. And, but they were cute to me, you know. I told them they had faces that only a mother could love. And no, they were precious, you know. I'm just teasing you girls. But, you know, you look in their eyes so adoringly, so loving. They've, you know, it's you and your husband, and you've had this union, and you've produced this beautiful baby. And you just stare at them as they sleep. You watch them as they breathe. You just are just in love. That's how we're supposed to be with the Lord. And yet that seems so foreign to us. You know, when we sing that one song, sometimes I almost get embarrassed when I sing it. We sang it earlier today. I want to sit at your feet and drink from your cup and lay my head against your chest. You know, it's like, it's such an intense in my mind, because there again, I go to my mind. When we sing that one song about how you dance before the Lord, I can picture myself doing that. And sometimes, like, I only want to sing that song when I'm in the privacy of my prayer closet. I don't want anyone, you know, because it's just so personal. But that's how we're supposed to be with the Lord. He's supposed to be so close to us. And he is. If we turn to him, he's right there. But, you know, we get busy and we get rushed and we get grouchy, and we have all these other things that we put ahead of our time with the Lord. And all those things, they're always going to be there. You're always going to have more to do than you can do. I mean, if you were to read this list, girls, you guys are amazing. The things that you have done, the things that you're presently doing, I couldn't even write everything down. The things that the Lord saved you from, he just loves us. And that he can love each and every single one of us like we love our infant when we had them when they were newborns, looking in their eyes. It's almost overwhelming. It makes me feel humbled that he cares about me so much. And then I get overwhelmed at how sinful I am and how, like Isaiah, man, I'm a woman of unclean lips, and I just, ugh. But you know what the Lord, again, I don't keep going there in my mind. You understand what I'm saying? I don't let that just bring me down. I'm like, but you know what, Lord? I know what your word says. Says that, yes, my heart is deceitfully wicked. Nobody can know it. And yet you love me still. Yet you went to the cross for me. And then you go back to the positive. Now, there's all these kind of tapes out now, these positive, you know, stuff. It's a little crazy. But there is something to the fact that, you know, what you think is what you are. And if you think you're a horrible, rotten person, we all were that person. But now, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ needs forgiveness, we're not that rotten, horrible person anymore. Now we're daughters of the King. And now the tapes that I need to be playing in my mind, I need to go back to the Word. And I'm going to read you some of these scriptures. And you guys can write them down if you want. Do you want peace in your mind? You can look at Isaiah 26:3. The Lord says that he will keep her in peace, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Because I trust in you, O God. Trust in the Lord forever. What if you're a worrier? In Luke 12, it says, do not worry about your life. Which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, these are Jesus' words himself, why do you worry about the rest? Okay, we're not to have an anxious, worried mind. That is not of the Lord. And how many of you are worriers? Now, some are worry about things here and there, but some, it's just your nature to worry. And you know that about yourself. I have five children, and one of my five children is a worrier. And she has been a worrier since day one. And I don't know why. And I feel sad. I feel sad for the fact that she's going to have to struggle with that for her whole life. Because there's things that you're just born. You have a personality that you're born with, and God has to round out those rough edges. But it's who you are. It's what you do. And she just worries about everything. She worries about being late and worries about finishing this on time and going there. And I think she was maybe three. She could barely talk, so she had to have been three. She was with my parents in the back seat, and her dad and I were in another car with some of the other kids, and we were all going out to eat, and my dad pulled into the gas station, and she knew for sure that he was lost and that they were not going to find us. And she said, "I knew it." She was just little. "I should never have gotten in this car with you because I knew I'd never see my parents again. I just knew it." And, you know, we laugh about that to this day still. She was so worried that she wasn't going to see her parents again. And that was from a little child. So those are habits that you have to break. You have to learn to trust in the Lord and not to lean on your own understanding and to acknowledge Him in all your ways and let Him direct your path. Right? Worry is no good. Girls, worry causes wrinkles. Worry causes stress. Worry causes acne. Worry causes gas, weight gain. It just does a number on your body. Worry. So you have to let the worry go. Okay, Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with what? Prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Amen? So you know what? Do me a favor. Let's turn to Jeremiah 17. I love this passage. Jeremiah 17. There's a lot of good things in Jeremiah. But Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and what does He do? I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." That the Lord actually can test our minds. Isn't that amazing? So He can put those little tests in front of us and see if we fall into that trap or if we've actually mastered that one. Right? That's why you have to keep an account of things. You see what the Lord has done. You keep an account somewhere of the things that the Lord has done for you, the answers to prayer, the places where He saved you, the places where He got you out of a jam. How many have gotten out of a jam? You know it was the Lord. There's only the Lord could have done it. Okay, so we all have those things. It is only Him that could have saved us. I'll tell you a funny story. One time when I was driving, I hit a horse. I was at a stop sign, and I looked. The sun was shining. Let me explain. The sun was shining, and I looked out my window, and there was this horse and a lady, and she was coming along. And I thought, oh, the horse is down there before. And I went very slowly. I mean, maybe just 3 miles an hour. I mean, I'm an animal lover, and I would never do it on purpose. And I hit, and all of a sudden, I heard this, and the lady fell off her horse onto my car, and the horse took off. And then she bounced from my hood onto the ground, and I ran after the horse, grabbed the horse, came back, and it was just a crazy, I mean, how do you hit a horse? You know, I don't know how you do it. As it's walking right in front of you, I still don't know how it happened. But what I do know is if I hadn't have hit that, actually, I had to go back to college, and I didn't have my car, and I didn't have a ride to church, and that's when I met my husband, and he took me to church. So, you know, God can work awesome things. But what I was really afraid of, is that she was going to sue my parents because, you know, you're a kid and you think, you know, your parents have a home and properties and they're going to sue. And so I just knew for a good 6 months that she was going to sue my parents. And I felt horrible. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And she did end up suing someone, but she sued the city and got a lot more money because there should have been special horse trails. You know, the horses shouldn't have had to be walking on. You know how those things go. But I'm just saying the Lord saved us. They didn't come after my parents. You know, everything was fine. Insurance paid. Horse was fine. Woman was fine. You know what? This was interesting, too. Now, this is something for you young girls, because I know we have a lot of young girls here, that because this woman was married and she already had children, she could have actually gotten more money because she got a big scar where she hit the car across her face. But because she was already married, it was like she was damaged goods already. Seriously. And that if it had been a young, single woman and then she'd have had that scar, maybe that would have prevented her from getting married and she would have gotten more money. Isn't that wild and crazy? Yeah. So those things are out there. But anyways, the horse is fine. The woman, I'm sure she's fine. I married my husband. Good ending to the story. But I'm just saying, those situations, jams that the Lord has gotten you out of, that you know it could have only been the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the things you have to remember. When the devil comes into the mind and says, the Lord doesn't love you or doesn't care about you. He doesn't care that your kids have horrible shoes. He doesn't care that your daughter needs braces. He doesn't care that, you know, you drive around in a junky car. He doesn't care that you don't own a home. What do you think? What are you thinking? You live in Orange County. You're never going to own a home. Those are lies. Those are lies. And I'm sure that there are a lot of women in this sanctuary tonight that could say, I shouldn't own a home, but I do. I am a homeowner, and it's only by the grace of God. I know that. I know that. Okay, I want to look at a couple other scriptures. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. This is my very, very favorite scripture concerning the mind. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing, and this is the key, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I probably repeat that verse to myself, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ every day. And if you know me at all, I've probably said it to you too. It's something that you just have to actively do. Christian life is active participation. You do not get to sit on the sidelines. You do not get to take a break from your Christianity. If I think of Christianity, I have this picture in my mind of like a merry-go-round, and I don't know what animal you're sitting on, but you're going up and down, and you're going around in a circle, and it's the merry, you know, is that called a merry-go-round?
Yes. Yeah.
And some people decide, well, you know what? I don't want to be on the merry-go-round anymore, and so I'm going to jump off. You know, you don't have that luxury to jump off, because as soon as you jump off, you're backsliding because you're not moving forward. You know, it just takes the smallest little thing. All you have to do as a woman is get offended. And how easy does that happen? And then, you know, the devil's got you right around right where he wants you. Okay, I just have to get her a little offended. I'll just, you know, have someone do this or say that or do that. And you know what? You battle for the mind. You bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, people have to be able to say things to you, and you just have to let them roll off your back. Because you know what? You need to go on to bigger and better things, because you're a believer. Because you're a daughter of the King. Because he loves you. Because it says in his word that his thoughts towards you outnumber the sands of the sea. That's how much he thinks about you and me. Individually. I mean, he's so awesome. How can you even calculate that? How can you ever understand that? You have to believe it. You have to read the word, and you have to believe it. And nobody can make you believe it but yourself. You have to take that step of faith. Just like that example of that man that was holding on to the rope. You know, if he'd listened to God and dropped down the 2 inches, what if he dropped down 20 feet in the snow? He probably would have lived anyways. Maybe he would have broken a leg. I mean, people do tenacious things to survive, don't they? What about the one guy that was the hiker, and he got his arm stuck underneath that big boulder and couldn't get out? And what did he do? He said he had an epiphany, that he saw the Lord, and in his mind, he knew he was that way for days. He figured he knew he was going to die, and he got his little pocket knife and cut himself out and made it out of there. I mean, there's tenacious things that we can do when we're put to the test, right? So you just can't give in so easily. You have to fight. It's a battle. It's not like a little tea party. Christianity is not a tea party. It's not a sleepover. You know, it's not, it's hard. It's hard to battle for your marriage. It's hard to battle for your kids when they're doing things you know they shouldn't be doing. It's hard to battle for your finances when, you know, you just lost your job. It's hard to battle these things. But we're not alone. That's another key of the enemy. He wants you to pretend like you are the sole man on Survivor Island. I don't know if you guys have seen that show, but there is a show on TV where this man, he's called Survivor Man. And I mean, you know, he does all these things. And, you know, I just think I would curl up in a little ball and just die. You know, I couldn't do all these things, you know, make the fire and get the, you know, kill the turtle and eat it and, you know, all these things that he does. But my little guys, they love it. They think this man, they want to meet him. He's just so awesome. Survivor Man, you know. And, but you know what? We're survivors. I read some of these things today. You guys are survivors. Some of you are cancer survivors. Some of you are marriage survivors. You know, those of us that have been married a long time, we should just see. Show of hands. Just so you guys can all see. If you have been divorced, raise your hand. Okay, a lot of divorced ladies. Okay. If you've been remarried, raise your hand. Okay, so now you need to be a survivor, right? God's given you the second chance. Do it right this time. Fight for your marriage. Don't let it happen a second time. You know, those of us that have been married a long time like myself, you know, I'm fighting for my marriage still. I'm fighting because I still want to be passionate. I want my husband to be passionate about me, and I want to love him, and I want him to love me, and I want, you know, I don't want it to stay the same. I always want things to be getting better. So you fight for what you want. You want to lose weight? You fight for it. It's hard. Right? Maybe it's easy for some of you. Huh? It's hard. It's hard for me. Okay. Let's look at the mind of God. Let's take a look at that. This is what we have to believe. Oh, my goodness. I know it's chapter 11, verse 33, but I didn't write the book. Okay. I'm going to read it, and I know that one of you know this because it's a very, very, you probably have it memorized. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has ever been his counselor? Chapter 11, verse 33 and 34. Chapter 11, verses 33 and 34. Romans? Go to the book of Psalms, Psalms 139. You guys, I know these are not unfamiliar to you. These are scriptures that the Lord has just made real to me. I know these scriptures. I've read them, and I've read them again, and I keep reading them, and I want you guys to keep reading them too. So let's go to Psalm 139. And we're going to read verse 1 to 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. And I love this. There is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether, which means he knows it before we even say it. That's humbling. I go back to that verse and all the things that I have said, which the Lord knew were coming out, and they just, you know, have you ever done that? When it comes out and you wish a million to one, you could put that, but you know, foot back in your mouth, but you've already made that mistake. Oh. Right? Okay, that's a battle. Some of you have, what do we want to call them? Wagging lips? Loose lips, wagging tongues, you just talk too much. That's the bottom line. You talk too much. And the Bible says where there's a lot of talking, there's sin. And so, you know what? If you talk a lot, I have a hard time with women that, because it's going to, I know it. I know myself. I know myself well enough because I've been a Christian long enough where I just can't, you know what? Can we pray? And then I have to move on because I can't get caught up in all that. Okay, it brings out the flesh in me, and I don't want to go there. You got to watch what you say. You got to be careful. You got to bring every thought captive. And you know what? If you say less, in the Proverbs it says you look smarter. Even a fool, if they don't talk, looks like they're wise. So use wisdom in the things that you say. If you say too much, if you're always, be careful. And if you have someone that's like that in your life, be careful. And, you know, be iron sharpening iron and keep each other accountable. You know what? Whoa, we're talking a little too much here. We're getting off track. Okay. And then, boom, you're done and you go. And that's invaluable. And if it's a good friend, they won't be hurt by that. Okay. Let's go to Romans 12:2. We know this passage. It's another good one. Romans chapter 12. We were there last night. We're going back. Good old Romans. We read verse 1 last night, and tonight we're going to read verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is something that happens, a transforming, a renewing of the mind. And we do have to take back those years that we didn't know the Lord, those computer tapes that are up in there, and we have to renew our mind. And the way you renew your mind is what? By putting the Word of God in. And so I'm just going to encourage you ladies again, you have to find alternative ways to get the Word of God in that work for you. Okay? Now, there are wonderful tapes. You can have the Bible on tape where it's kind of almost like, not just like Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., I'm dating myself, huh? He had that one set of tapes where he, you know, and he's got that great voice, but where there's actually like drama tapes, and they just are basically going through the Bible and they're doing the stories from just, you know, Genesis to Revelation. Whatever it is, you got to find it. You got to break down, pay some money, and get yourself a good set of tapes, if that's what you like. Maybe some of you like radio. And I'm sure some of you, how many of you do listen to Christian radio? And you have your favorites, okay? It's really kind of fun. You make dates with these pastors that are on TV. Oh, I gotta go meet Greg Laurie, you know? And people, well, you know, he's on it, you know, and that's what I want. That's who I listen to, or whoever the case may be. And you got to find someone that you like and listen to them. And we've talked about this at our women's Bible study, but, you know, there's other types of programs, and it's not just the Bible study format. There's other programs. Radio Bible Class is a good one. How many of you listen to Radio Bible Class? That's a good one. What are some of your favorites? Let me hear from you guys. Who do you listen to that you enjoy? Charles Stanley? John MacArthur? John Corson? Ra Reese? Alistair Begg. Oh, I just like the tone of his voice, you know, the words he chooses. Damien Kyle, there you go. Chuck Missler, who? Poncho, okay, excellent. Heitzig? Pastor's Perspective, Question and Answers, yes. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, there's just so many. Find one that you like and meet up with them. You know, it's kind of like you get into that rut. You know, if you're picking the kids up to school, and you know you're going to have to wait for all those crazy moms that get there 20 minutes before with their cars. You know what I'm talking about. It's like, don't these people have anything better to do? But anyways, so, you know, you get to a program and listen to that program and make yourself a student of the Word, whoever it is. Okay? The other person that you really need to be helping you in this area is your husband if you are married. Your husband's supposed to be washing you with the Word. So you should be making some kind of time within the marriage relationship for him to do that. Now, I don't know how everybody does that. Everybody does it different. I know for myself, with my husband, he's always studying. He's always doing something. And I ask him questions, and that's just kind of, well, what do you think about this? And so that gets him to talk about a lot of things. And that's how I do it. But, you know, everyone has to make their own way in that department, right? You know, don't just leave it up to your husband to come up with all the great ideas. You make some ideas up yourself and tell him, man, I need you to wash me with the Word. What are we going to do? What are we going to listen to? What little devotional are we going to have that we're going to read before we go to bed at night? You know, I hope that I'm like this. I want to be. This is that thing of our minds going out into the future. I love to think about retirement because I have so many kids and they're going to be with me still for so many more years. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but I think about it. It's like on those days when it's real crazy, it's like someday I'm going to be able to get to church and not have to take any kids with me, you know, and be on time. And someday, maybe even before service, my husband and I can go get, you know, a cup of coffee and a bite to eat before church. Oh, Lord, those days are going to be so good. They're out there somewhere in the future. You know, those are the kind of strange things that I think about, you know. So, you know, those are okay. But if you start thinking, well, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and then you kind of, you know, those vain imaginations that come up, that thought life, when you start thinking on something that you shouldn't and you go back and then before you know it, your husband hasn't even got out of bed and you are so mad at him because you've had that thought and you've gone on, you know. Have you ever had a bad dream and you're so mad at him that when you wake up, you just want to, and they're like, what's wrong? You just got out of bed. Nothing. You just, you know, but it was that dream and you don't want to tell him about what happened in that dream, you know. So pray that the Lord covers over your dreams and that he's the Lord of your dreams as well. Okay, a couple more scriptures. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. In the NIV, it says self-discipline. Just like anything else that you want to be good at, if you want to be good at taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, you have to practice. You have to discipline yourself. You have to beat your body. I love that one scripture where it says, I buffet my body. And you have to work at it. And it just is small things. And sometimes when those vain imaginations come, you have to bring it to, maybe it's every 15 minutes that thought starts coming up. And you got to bring it captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You got to practice. What are the other kinds of things that you practice at in life? What about playing the piano? I'm sure if Tony hadn't practiced, she wouldn't be able to play like she does, right? Instruments, you know, our kids that we give them these instruments and they try to play, and it's really the mothers that suffer as they learn to play the violin or whatever instrument it is. You know, it sounds horrible, but you're thinking in the future it's going to produce a beautiful thing. And so you practice. What else do you practice at? How many of you play golf? Anybody play golf here? No? What else do you guys practice at? Baseball? Okay. Anybody else? Snowboarding? Okay. What? Painting. Okay. What is the little phrase? Practice makes?
Perfect.
Right. So there should be something that you're practicing. You know? I think if you guys were to go back to the Proverbs 31 woman, actually we should go there. Let's go there. Proverbs 31. She was an amazing woman. She's our role model. Whoever she was, I'm really going to talk to her when I get there to heaven. Proverbs 31. We're to be like her. She sees wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. She brings food from afar. She rises up while it is night, provides food for her household, a portion for her maidservants, considers a field and buys it from her profit. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, strengthens her arms, perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out. By night, she stretches out her hand to the distaff. Her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out to the needy. She's not afraid of snow, for her household and all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. He sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She rejoices in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. The law of kindness is on her tongue. She watches over the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is the key. Give her the fruit of her own hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Okay? Your own works should be praising you in the gates. Okay? So you should be practicing something that can praise you in the gates. And it doesn't always have to be a spiritual thing. You know, if you have a job outside the home, and if you're working, you should be doing something there that is praising you in the gates, because you're supposed to be a testimony. You're supposed to have the fragrance of Christ that follows you into the workplace. And when people see you and they know you're a Christian, you better be working twice as hard, or you're going to defame the name of the Lord. So, you know, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Oh, I can't stand my boss. I can't stand my boss. I can't. You know what? That's not the way to do it, ladies. Oh, this person that I sit next to in the, you know, the next little cubby or whatever they call those things that you have to sit next to someone, you know. Whatever the case is, you know, the work can be a horrible, horrible, horrible nightmare. You have to transform it. And you know the way you transform it? By the renewing of your mind. You have to go in there as a different person. You have to put on the full armor, man, because you're going into a battle. And you need to have the fragrance, the aroma of Christ. And if you don't, if you're stinking up the place, you know, think about that. Your own works to praise you in the gates, whatever those works are. She did so many things. She was a businesswoman. She had a great house. She dressed nice. What do they say when you dress to the tens or whatever, that, you know? Or the nines. Did I say it wrong? You dress to the nines or whatever it is. But you guys know what I meant. You know, she looks good. She takes care of herself. You guys should be taking care of yourself. You should not be slothful in your appearance. Now, are you going to get frustrated and uptight? Oh, I didn't put my makeup on tonight. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, you know what? Fragrance of Christ. Whoever we are, we need to have a smile on our face. We need to say, the Lord is good. Jesus is my Savior. I'm a child of the King. And love the people that you're around. And the fragrance of it permeates not from the outside person, but from the inside. You're beautiful from the inside out. You should have it. And if you don't have it, you might need to think about, you know, maybe changing jobs where you can start over and you can get into a place where you can rework that whole fragrance thing going on. If you've got yourself in a bad place, you just need to repent. The Lord will forgive you. And you can transform yourself in a place where you work right now so that you have the fragrance of Christ by renewing your mind. Romans 12:16. We were in Romans a little bit earlier. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. So there's an instruction there as we're renewing our minds that we're making sure that we're associating with humble. We're not setting our mind on high things. Okay? That's important. There's a lot of people that are a lot worse off than you. You need to associate with them and love them, whether they're in your church, whether at the workplace, whether they're in your neighborhood. Most everyone you know, if they're not a believer, are in a worse spiritual state because they're not going to heaven because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Associate with them, with the humble, with the lowly. That blesses the Lord. That pleases the Lord. Isaiah 55:9 reads, "And the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts," says the Lord. So his thoughts are higher than ours. We need to have the thoughts of the Lord. That's why we need to know the Word. The Word are his thoughts towards us, his love letters towards us. If you really believe that God loves you, then you would read it. You know how awful that would be if you got a love letter from a boyfriend or from a spouse or even from a girlfriend, and it was a beautiful letter and you just didn't read it and you just tossed it in the trash or threw it in a drawer and they asked you, "Wow, what do you think?" "Oh yeah, envelope was nice." You gotta spend the time. You gotta spend the time. Let's go to Isaiah 55:6-7, Old Testament. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy on him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." Abundantly pardon. Abundantly forgive us. Let's read that one again. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy." That's what's so awesome about serving the Lord. You know, we have this life with the Lord that is inside the mind, and that's where he renews us from the Word, and he wants to make us, Proverbs 31 women, he wants to make us loving daughters. He wants to make us beautiful from the inside out. And the only way he can do that is by revealing himself in his Word. And that's what we need to get back to. So are you guys encouraged to get into the Word? Are you encouraged that you can renew your mind? How do you do it? By the Word. And how do you get the Word? How do you get the Word? You read it. Listen to it. Go to Bible study. Meditate on it. Share it. I mean, some people have scriptures on their wall. Some people do the post-it notes. And they, you know, we're supposed to. Actually, you know what? How many of you memorized the theme verse? Okay. Jessica did. Anybody else? We're working on that. Can you tell it to us, Jessica? You knew I was going to say that. Yes, you did. Okay, very good. Very good. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You're my friend. We're still friends, right? Okay. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. Anybody else? We're working on that scripture? Anyone else? Pound it into your head and you've memorized it? Come on. Okay. Nobody wants, I don't want to point fingers, but you know what? If you know the Word and you're figuring out what it means to die to self, you're figuring out what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and you have salvation, and you're trying to die to self because we want to lose our life so we'll gain it. Good, good, very good. It's hard to do that. It's hard. I mean, you know, memorizing scripture, a lot of times we think it's just for the little kids. You know, we get excited when the kids come home with a verse or something, but you know what? It should be something that we're practicing. You know, we should be memorizing verses. Now, it doesn't have to be a lot of verses, but there should be things that, areas of our life that the Lord's working on with us, and he's revealing things to himself, and we speak the word. We say, you know what, to renew my mind, I say, you know what, Lord, you haven't given me a spirit of fear. You've given me a spirit of a sound mind, so I'm not going to be fearful of this situation, and I'm going to go and talk to my boss. So you go with me, and, you know, and you bring that thought captive. You don't go on and think about all the things that your boss could say that's going to be negative. You bring that captive, Lord. I'm going to go forward and do this thing. So, you know, you bring it captive. You should be memorizing verses, even if it's just one that you work on for 6 months. But you have it somewhere where you can get to it. It's in your purse. It's in your car. It's in the bathroom. It's in the laundry room. It's wherever you spend time where you got a little verse there and you're memorizing them. How many of you are actively right now memorizing any verse? Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4. Good, good, good. That's great. I'm proud of you. That's awesome. That's probably a very good portion of people. So it's very, very important to be in the Word. That's the way you renew your mind. You come back just like Jesus did with Scripture, because you are going to be tempted. The devil is going to come. You are going to have this battle that goes on here, and you don't want to give into it. And the way is with the Scriptures. And so this is a good weekend. You guys have started on the right foot. How many of you know God is good? How many of you know that God's thoughts toward you outnumber the sand of the sea? Okay, so when you get a lie, when a little seed's planted in there, God doesn't care about you. What do you say? Hey, God is good. God is good. Lord, thank you that your thoughts towards me are more than the sands of the sea. Okay, you have to know who God is to battle in your mind. Jesus knew who God was and gave the appropriate scriptures, not scriptures that were out of context like the devil was trying to do. And the enemy's going to come with you, but you've got to know the word so you get your scriptures. You know, find a way, get a partner, join a Bible study. I'm trying to encourage you, ladies. You can't. You know, I love having you ladies on retreat, and I hope that you come on every retreat that we have from now on to whenever it stops. But you got to do something on a weekly basis with other women. You got to find some girlfriends, whether it's once a week at work where you have lunch with them and you look at the Word together, or you've got to do something. It can't just be the church, you know, Sunday, Wednesday. Those are great. But it's got to be other times during the week with other people, different people. You need to have people that you're aspiring to be like because they're more mature than you. You need to have people that are less mature than you, and you're trying to lift them up to where you're at. All different kinds of relationships in your life. Women love women relationships. And if that's one of your issues, then you pray for that. Lord, you know, whatever happened up here in those videotapes, bad relationship with mom, bad relationship with sister, whatever the case may be, Lord, renew that so that I can have relationships with women, because women need women. We need each other. You know, we need to be honest with each other. And I know that is like the hardest thing to do, to let that wall come down and to really say, I am hurting and I need prayer. This is what's going on. Because you know what? We don't want to talk about the other person that's involved in the situation that you're in. But you know what? Just bring it back to yourself. This is my situation, and pray for me. I need help. I need support. I need strength. When you do that, then people can call you. If people don't know, we can't help. We have to know. We can't read your mind. So please let your girlfriends know so that they can pray and help you and encourage you and be that source of strength, because I know we all want it. And some of us are blessed where we have very close ties with our family and friends, but others aren't. Others, you know, they don't have sisters or sister-in-laws. And they're just, you know, they're coming to church week in, week out, and they need some girlfriends desperately. And that's what the body should provide, those relationships with one another that are so essential to make it to the end of our life. Because, man, it's hard to do it by yourself, almost next to impossible to do it by yourself. This is our last scripture that we're going to read together. The one thing about Paul he was able to say which I would like to be able to say. I don't know that I can say it completely yet. But he was able to say that whatever he has learned, whatever he has researched, whatever you've learned from him, whatever you've received from him, whatever you've heard from him, that he was telling the people that he was writing the book of Philippians to, that, you know, follow me. I'm your example. Okay, we follow Jesus. Jesus is our example. And, you know, Paul wrote a lot of the Bible, and he's got some awesome stuff in there. And we do follow Christ as he followed Jesus as well. So let's look at Philippians 4. And we'll start verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. That's what we do. We replace the negative, ugly, bad thoughts, the evil thoughts, with things that are lovely, pure, right, just, kind, praiseworthy. And what are those things? Those things are found, a lot of them, right there in the Word. So that's where the battle is. We have all this negativity, all these things happening in the world, in our lives, and we bring those thoughts captive, and we exchange those thoughts to think on things, to meditate on things that are lovely and praiseworthy. Amen? That's what I want you to do. That's the practical way. That's the way you exercise. That's the way you take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ by thinking on good things. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I know that your word is true, and that you have spoken to us, Lord, about our thought life, that it needs to be pleasing and honoring to you, Lord, and that we are all tempted. Every Christian is tempted. Lord, our heart is evil. It's deceitful. We have evil thoughts, and yet at the same time, Lord God, you renew our mind with the word. And we can think on things that are lovely and pure and just and praiseworthy, and we can renew our mind. Your word renews our mind, and we believe it tonight, Lord God. We know that we can bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ because you can help us do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you were tempted, Lord, that you didn't give in to that temptation. Help us to be strong like you, Lord. Help us to be able to come back when the enemy tells us those lies, that we can come back with your word because we've studied, because we've read it, because we're memorizing it, because we're together with girlfriends, ironing, sharpening iron, that we're desiring to be more like your son, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. You're so good to us. You're so kind to us. You're so gentle, Lord. You're so loving. You're so tender towards us, God. You forgive us and you desire good things for us, Lord. So I pray that this teaching would be a good thing, Lord, and that it would prompt us and promote us and get us on the path, Lord, of getting to know you more intimately, myself included, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, girls, we have a full day tomorrow.